Today's perek in Masechet Kelim is the third perek, and we start at Mishnah Aleph. Now that we've been talking about which kelim are considered to be bekabel tuma of the kli cheres, we need to discuss what it is that takes away the tuma from a kli cheres. And of course, as we know, we were taught up front, the only way to be metayer a kli cheres, as opposed to kli shetef, which can be washed in a mikveh, is through breaking them. However, there are two completely different madrigas of breaking, as we are going to see as the yesod throughout this perek. One of the dinim of breaking is that the kli is not a kli at all. It loses its shem kli. That is called a gistra, leftover pieces. There's a completely different din of gistra than there is about technical breakage, which means non-functionality, but still a kli. So the difference would be, if I've got a barrel, let's say, that's a kli cheres, and I smash this barrel, and now it's sitting in pieces. That's called clearly breakage, because it doesn't have a shem kli at all. And remember that one of the most important concepts that we had about gistra is that once a kli is only leftover shattered pieces, it can still be tameh if there is a shattered piece that serves its initial purpose. So let's say it was a big barrel that held oil. If there's a piece that holds oil and will stand on its own, even though it's only a shattered piece, it's still metameh. But once something happens to a gistra, you can't fix it. Because we do not say, ein mevi'im gistra legistra. You don't support a broken piece with another broken piece. The key over here being that anything that humans no longer relate to as a kli is not considered to be a kli despite its technical functionality. The opposite is also true. The loss of technical functionality, despite the fact that humans still look at it as a kli, for instance, I have a big barrel and it's got a hole in the bottom. Now, I don't look at that barrel and say, oh, that's not a barrel. I say, that's a barrel with a hole in the bottom. The difference is that if I fix that hole, then I certainly have a restored kli, and now it's a full kli that can itself be restored even if it becomes a gistra, because it never lost its shem kli. That difference is going to play a big role throughout the entire discussion here. So first of all, what is non-functionality as opposed to taking away the shame of the kli? How do we define standard functionality? And I stress standard functionality, because remember that any kli, we're going to see later, is capable of being defined by human consciousness as a kli by setting it aside for that particular purpose, even though it's not its standardized purpose. Unless it's a purpose that would be looked at as being absurd by all other people. In which case we say, batla dato. That is called not consciousness, but insanity. Because remember, the nature of consciousness is its consistency with other consciousness. That's the only sense we have of what's normal and what isn't normal. Why do we say something is normal? Why not say everybody's insane? That's how we define normal. How do we know that the other person is hallucinating and that we're not hallucinating? Because everybody agrees that the other person is hallucinating. That's called batla da'ato. So what we're talking about over here in these Mishnayos, consensual consciousness, thank you. So what we're talking about over here in these Mishnayos is what is the standardized, without having been set aside for other usage, breakage, not real breakage, but technical breakage in terms of non-functionality. Shiur kli cheres litaher. So therefore, the various stages of losing tuma, litaher can mean two things. Losing tuma, which has already taken place, or losing its susceptibility to tuma, which has not taken place, but it doesn't have the ability to be kli cheres, to be makabel tuma. So shiur kli cheres litaher is as follows. Asui lo ochlin, if the point was that it was made originally to hold solids, then the standard solid would be the shear of olives. And the moment that it's got a hole big enough that you put olives in it, it falls out. The olives fall out. It loses its tuma. Now, obviously, if you decide, I want to use this kli for pomegranates or something like that, then it will become mekabel tuma again. But we're talking about the standard, so that shiuro is bezeitim. If initially the main point of the kli was for liquids, asur lamashkin, then the shiur will be bemashkin. As long as it's got a hole, which we spoke about in Nida, it's got a hole, which if you, there were different ways of figuring out how to get rid of the pressure problem, but that the mashkin will actually penetrate into the kli through the hole, not come out of the kli. That's, we're talking about kones mashkin, not motzi mashkin. So at that point, it would be no longer a usable kli. How sur lekach o lekach, if it's a type of thing that is used both for liquids and solids, then we go lechumra. And we say it's considered to be a kli as long as it can still hold those olives. Okay, Mishnah Beit. How about a very large kli, a barrel, chavit? The shear of a barrel is dafka bigrogrot. That uses dried figs, which is much larger than an olive. And as long as it can hold a dried fig, it's not going to lose its usability. Divrei Rabbi Shimon. That's standardized. Rav Yehuda says the standard is egozim, which lechora is smaller, and therefore it would be a kula. However, there are different shitas about this. It's not clear what size egozim we're talking about. So according to some approaches, like the Gra, it's actually a chumra, that it's considered to remain tameh until it's big enough to let go of, like, these big walnuts and so on. Rabbi Meir says no. Even a giant chavit is motzi zeitim, like the norm that we said in the first Mishnah. That is the standard shear, even for the larger shiurim. Halefas, the hakidera, if you're talking about a frying pan or you're talking about a stew pot, also, mishni yinakev bekezayit. So shiurim bekezeitim as well. Hapach, vatvia. Pach is a little like salad dressing thing. What do you call that thing with the thin neck that you pour out oil from? We use it nowadays very much for a salad dressing thing. I can't remember the word. You know that little thing? Come on, guys. Somebody please tell me. I'm in pain for forgetting the word. Hello?
Carafe?
Yeah.
Carafe?
Maybe. I don't know. But think of carafe as a wider mouth, more like coffee. There's another word, I think, for the smaller
carafe
one.
Carafe is bigger.
No? Okay, but you know what we're talking about over here. So that salad dressing pouring thing and the tefi, which is a pach, I mean, is a carafe. Tefi is what I'm looking for. It's called tefi, by the way, probably because tefi means drops. So it drops. Tipa, tipa, tip, 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 tip. So therefore you call it a tefi, right? Very thin mouth. Those are shiurim if they have a hole in them that oil can get into, because they're usually used for oily things. Hatzartzur, remember we had the tzartzur yesterday, that weird-looking thing that had the sieve over it to protect it from bugs with a little design on top. The shiur over there is just plain water. Obviously, oil is a lot thicker. Rabbi Shimon Omer, all of them, even the tefi, the pach, you have to have a hole big enough for little seeds, like sumsum, to fall out. Because sometimes people will even use it for that, which is a big chumrah. How about a lamp, a ner, that you usually will put oil into? The shear over there also is oil. Rebbe Eliezer says, well, people use this sometimes for storing cash. So bepruta ktana, as long as the hole is big enough, is small enough that it'll still hold a little coins in it, even if oil will leak out or leak in, it would still be tamei. A ner shenital piv. Now here's a very interesting idea. The point of these lamps, you'll recall, is they have that little mouth that comes out on the side where the ptil. Yeah, thank you. Beautiful. So that the mouth of the lamp where you have the wick sticks out on the side. Now suppose that piece broke off and now it doesn't hold a wick. So then it's tahor because it lost its functionality. If it's made out of unfired clay and the part that you keep lighting eventually after a few weeks of use has basically gotten fired by the flame of its own wick. So you might think, since the main point of this lamp is the wick part, the mouth, you might think that if that part has become cheres, that the whole thing is mekabel tuma. It's not. And even if husak piv babetila, with the fire of the wick, it's still tahor, because it doesn't define the whole lamp, even though it takes away the usability, you see. So here is another issue of the difference between the definition of the kli and the definition of the usability of the kli. These are two different things. The third Mishnah, Mishnah Gimel of Perek Gimel. How about a repaired kli? So you had this barrel, chavit, shenikba, got a hole in it, of whatever shita was a big enough hole to lose its tuma. It got this hole, and then you sealed up that hole with like some type of sealant, like zefet, which is tar. So you sealed it up. Now it'll be mekabel tuma. Now it broke. It falls and it breaks into little pieces. One of those pieces has that place that was repaired with the tar. So im yesh bimkom hazefet, big enough to hold a revius, and obviously it has to be able to be, we had before, yoshvim shalom mesumachim, they have to be able to stand on a table on their own, not that you should need to bring a piece to support it, because ein mevim gistra legistra. So, but there's a piece there that could stand on its own, holds a revius of liquid, it's still going to be tome. Why is that? Because if a gistera breaks, then it won't help to repair it. So why is this stomach? Mipnei, here's the statement that I made to you at the beginning of the parak. It's because lo batal shem kli mi'aleha. When we took away its functionality, we did not cause it to no longer be a barrel. It is referred to as a barrel in need of repair. It's a barrel that I'm not going to use for its standard use. I could still think about this barrel as something that, you know, I could put my garbage bag in it, meanwhile, until we get it fixed. So it doesn't lose its shame of a kli. Therefore, when it does break, it's a full kli that broke, you see. And therefore, even the broken piece of it, even the piece that had been repaired and has the tar in it, if it's usable, it's usable. And it's not the equivalent of a gistera that was repaired. That's the point. However, a broken piece of cheres, a cheres, what it means over here is a gistera of cheres that broke. Just cheres means a piece of cheres as opposed to a kli cheres. And you repaired that piece with zefet, then even though it can hold a lot, it is tahar. Why? Because initially it lost its shem kli. It was just shattered pieces. It was batel shem kli mi'alav, taking a broken piece of cheres and making it usable for something doth not a kli maketh. And therefore, it is not going to be mekabel tuma despite its usability. So again, we need to clearly differentiate between usability and status of a kli. And it is here that this Mishnah makes that very fundamental and profound distinction. Chavit shenitro a'a. Now this distinction continues on through the Mishnayos that come. So now we're up to Mishnah Dalet. What you've got over here is a cracked barrel. Now it's being held together currently by, you know, sometimes even though it's cracked and it's gonna fall apart, it still holds together. And sometimes you'll even put it on your Shabbos table, hoping that it's not going to crack today. Now, this guy is nervous, okay? He knows he cannot use this cracked barrel for putting in his full load. Well, we're almost up to it. Yes, thank you. You show it to us in a minute, because we're not there quite yet. And he decides that what he wants to do is hold it together. Now, he's going to, obviously, you can hold it together with putty. You can hold it together with tar, like we said before. This guy's got a better idea. He's going to hold it together with dung, okay? Which, of course, was a very popular kind of paste. In case you want to see what that looks like, hold your nose and Naftali will show you what this looks like. Thank you. Here is a crack. You see all those terrible cracks? But now it's a beautiful kli, all covered with dung. So the dung is going to hold the cracks together and prevent them from breaking. And he, what that's called tofel. Tofel means you squish something onto it, and you surround. What's the word in English for that? Ah, gosh. Tefala. Okay, coating. So he coats it with dung.
Plaster it?
What's it called?
To plaster it?
Well, that's a particular type of tofel, is to use plaster.
Sealing it. He seals it.
Okay. He coats it with a sealant of some kind. So here he uses dung, even though if he would take away the dung, the pieces would be falling into pieces now. And you would think that means that klei galalim, it's all dependent on being klei galalim. Klei galalim are not mekabel tuma. Nonetheless, it's still tame. Why? Because when it cracked, it did not lose its shame because it wasn't yet shattered. And it was still called a bucket or whatever it was, a barrel in this case. Shalo patel shem kli mi'aleha. Therefore, even though it's currently being held in together by this coating of galalim and kli galalim, not mekabel tuma, it's still going to be mekabel tuma. However, suppose you glue pieces together with galalim so that you take a shattered kli and now you build it carefully back together again and you have the whole thing held together with dry dung. And then you would debake mimenu charasim. You even took all of its own pieces, or you brought pieces from elsewhere, whatever, and you put it all together with a glue that is made out of dung. There, even if now you put it together so well that if you took off the dung, the pieces would hold together, it doesn't matter. It's still tahor, the exact opposite situation. Because here again, first batal shame kli me'aleha. First, we lost the shame kli. You can't make a shame kli to be mekabel tuma with galalim, but you can support and extend shame kli with galalim. So the idea is becoming clearer. Hayaba cheres machazik rivi'it. So let's say we have a barrel that busts. It was literally broken up. And there's a piece of cheres, which holds a revius. Then the halacha would be that if it had a hole in it and you fixed it, then the entire bucket that is fixed is going to actually be metame bimaga. That is an important sugya. And that is that when you fix something, the other pieces, which themselves ought not to be mekabel tuma, but they are here together with that broken piece that is now the only part that is mekabel the tuma because it is a revius, it still holds a revius. All the other pieces that were being held on, take a look at that picture, the bottom piece holds a revius, all the other broken pieces are not capable of holding a revius on their own. Nonetheless, they will be able to transfer tuma in and out of that piece of the bottom. And that, remember, is called yadayim. They serve as extensions of that piece. But extensions only work as tumat maga. They do not work to have a toch, obviously, because they themselves are not kalim. And if they themselves are not kalim, how could they have a toch to themselves when they don't have a shem kli? So because of that, you have a fascinating issue. That would mean that the area that can be give out to Mabamaga serves as a yad to maga. So if the kli cheres was metame mitocho miaviro, so then the other parts will be metame as yadayim to that part. However, the airspace kinegdo, the airspace that's against the upper parts and is not in the part that holds the revius at the bottom, only the part that is kineged, the part that does hold the revius, is metame ma'avir. But the kinegdo of the other parts is not considered to be airspace and is not considered to be a kli, and therefore cannot be mekabel tuma. Another important yesod of the difference between something that has a shem kli and something that in this case has no shem kli but serves as a yad l'kli. Gentlemen, that concludes the wonderful Mishnayos for today. I'm not quite certain that we want necessarily to continue doing Mishnayos on Friday. I'd wanted to discuss that with you. I think for sure Mitzvah Shabbos we should not. It's not, after all, a Yomit. So we'll meet again on Sunday for the continuation of the Mishnah. I want you to think about whether the pressures of a Friday, especially now the short Fridays, make it kedai to have the Mishnah on Friday, or whether we're better off doing it only the 5 days a week instead of six. So we'll think about that. But today, Baruch Hashem, we have.
Maybe I'd like to strongly say.